All right, well, welcome back. I would just want to thank Brandon and family for that worship set. You know, I got to listen to it last night as I was preparing for this message, and it was so good to hear your voices, and it was so wonderful getting to know that our people were going to get to worship with our worship leaders this week. So thank you for all the efforts you guys have put into that. I know it's been a lot of learning curve and everything, so thank you so much for that. If you're just joining us now, welcome to our Father's house and welcome to my home. We're just excited to have you here with us. We're excited to be doing this virtual type of service online and thankful to the Lord for the technology that's been available for this. I said this at the very beginning, but in case you don't know, this is a recorded message. I'm doing this a day ahead. So I'm sitting in my living room right now with my family watching the same service you are. So I'm going to be out there on the chats. Just excited to hear what's going on. So please engage with us. Let us know where you're watching from. We know that not everybody who's with us right now this week is someone from Southern Maryland. We know we have folks that are watching from various locations around the world. Just let us know where you're watching from. It's exciting for us to be able to find out. And also let us know what's impacting you. What are the thoughts that you're having as you're listening to these to our message and listening to what God's saying? Just share it, because there's a different way that we can engage online, and we want to be able to do that. So please, we also have folks that are out there just curating the online experience. They're looking to engage with you. So please feel free to share what you've got, and we're thankful that you're here with us. Also, just a reminder, if you want to give, we have our Vanco text to give information. It's going to come up here on the screen. And, you know, you can give here to our Father's house, but really we would also ask that if you are part of a local congregation, maybe you guys aren't able to meet right now, be tithing to your local congregation. You know, the principle for tithing is that we're honoring God by giving to those that he has placed over us from a position of authority to watch over our souls. And so we give to honor what he's doing, as giving to them as they are his representatives here in the earth, just as that covering for you. So we ask that you give. If you're part of our Father's house, we ask you to tithe. But if you are part of a different congregation, we'd love for you to be given to your local congregation in this time. So just want to honor that right now. So Father, we just bless your tithes and offerings. We bless what it means, Lord, to honor you and recognize that you are our source, especially in this time right now, Lord, where this is, for some of us, a very challenging idea and concept for us to do, Lord. We know that you're going to meet us in it, Lord. You've told us to test you in it. And Lord, I thank you for my own testimony, Lord, of how you have shown up so many different times, Lord, as we, Lord, have reached out and gone with you there. We are just so thankful, Father, to see how you own the cattle on a thousand hills. You've got it all, Lord. We just are so thankful for how you are our source, and you're blessing your people, and you're resourcing us in this time. We thank you, Father. And I just speak peace to everyone who's hearing right now, Lord Jesus, knowing that you are our provider, that we can come to you with all of our needs, Lord. We know that you hear us, and we know that you're there providing for everything that we have right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to get started and just wanted to start by saying, this week has been a different week. I don't know about you, but in the challenging time that we're in, the challenging season that we're in, this week has been an especially challenging season. It's just different. Every week throughout this time that we've been going on has kind of had a little bit of a different flair to it. And this week, it seems like there's just some weird stuff going on. You know, we've been going through the season, and we've all been going through the same time, the same kind of storm, but we're all kind of in different places in it. We've all been isolated to some degree, but not all of us are having the same experiences in it. And that's important for us to recognize. Some of us are you know, can be bored at home and trying to figure things out. Others are out there on the front lines right now, exposing themselves daily for the benefit of the rest of us. And that's a totally different thing. So I think it's important for us to recognize that we're not all having the same experiences through this, but we're all going through it, and we're moving through it together. And the Lord has been, he's been working with us as we've been journeying through this together. But we've all experienced unique aspects of this. For us here in OFH, this marks the seventh time that we have met online, conducting our services online virtually. So we really want to thank you for journeying with us. This has been quite an experience, and it looks like it's going to continue to be an experience like this for some time. And then we're not sure what it's going to exactly be once we begin to move out of this. We're exploring that those options as well right now, planning ahead, thinking about what's going to happen and how we're going to manage that. But I want to talk to you today, responding to some of the things that we've seen in this particular week, because it's definitely stood out as significant in the broader context of what we've been experiencing. And this is kind of out of some of the observations that we've had personally, but observations that we've had that are going on inside the church body. So we just really felt led to address a particular aspect of what we're going after. Before I do, I'd really like to just pray and bless this time. So Father, we just thank you for today. Holy Spirit, I welcome you into this message. I just ask that you would lead and guide my words, Lord, that you would anoint them, Lord, that it would be you speaking to us, that you'd speak encouragement to us, Lord, that you'd speak comfort to us, that you'd reveal Jesus to us, Holy Spirit. We just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you come alongside us. We're thankful that you strengthen us, that you teach us everything that we need to know. So right now, we humbly submit ourselves to you, and we welcome you here in this place. We thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you. So this week, you know, it's been kind of a rough time this week, to be honest with you. This week has been kind of marked by, I will call them, the suddenlies. And not suddenlies necessarily always in a positive sense. There have been some positive suddenlies that have happened. We've seen some really great turnarounds that have happened, and that's kind of been the testimony through this. But there's also been some real negative experiences that have cropped up, and they've been kind of a surprise. Just as a glossing over, we've seen injuries happening this week. We've seen illnesses happening this week, hospital visits. I don't know of anybody that's personally experiencing COVID among us right now, but there have been people that have had to go to the hospital for different illnesses, pains. We've had loss of loved ones for those that we love and are part of our body, have been part of our body, have experienced some loss this week, just significant, sudden things that have taken place. There's just been turmoil in one way or another, and unexpected difficulties, you know, where we're kind of moving a certain direction and things that just get kind of thrown across the tracks. You know, for our family personally, my son, he had an accident on his bike this week and had a big cut on his finger. We ended up having to go into urgent care, which is something that nobody wants to do right now, but we had to. He needed stitches in his finger, and he's doing great, and he's okay. And the people at urgent care really took very, very good care of us and him. You know, they did a great job stitching us up his finger. They made him feel comfortable with all that, but they made us feel comfortable with having to come into a medical facility right now in the season. So I'm just so thankful to everybody that's working in that field right now. You guys are just doing great work, and we're all so thankful as a community. But all this type of stuff, it's been like tempests in the midst of this storm. And that's been a bit of a challenge for us, and I think for a lot of others, because to some degree, we've kind of got the rhythm of this storm. You know, out in the seas, out in the oceans, when there's wind blowing and there's big storms going, the waves actually get kind of a periodicity to them, and you can kind of get to see the pattern of things. And we as humans love to have patterns of things. We love to have the expected. We don't tend to really enjoy the unexpected, unless it's an unexpected positive. And then again, not all of us like that, but we really do like to have expected things. And so we find the pattern, we get in the groove, we turn into the waves, and we just kind of, okay, we got this now. We got this rhythm, and we got this, we can make it through this, we can do it, and we'll be okay, and we get comfortable in it. And then it's like this week, we just got hit by a wave or a gust or a blast sideways, that just this tempest in the midst of the storm. And it knocked a few of us kind of back on our heels a little bit. And so I don't know where you are right now. And if you've experienced that yourself, if you have, just know that, you know, you're not alone in that. There have been a lot of us doing that. And so it's kind of like we got to pay attention to the seasons and the patterns that are happening for all of us, because there's a spiritual aspect and a spiritual dynamic to that. So I'd like for us in this week, because we kind of got knocked back into this, and you know, you get knocked around, you kind of have to dust yourself off and get your bearings again. I would like us to start back to where we were at the beginning of having these messages. And so I want to go back into that, where we were 6 weeks ago, because I still believe that this is kind of the major overarching perspective of what we should be having in this season. There's lots of little things and nuances that, that the Lord is working on, but there's a big aspect of things that he's doing. And it's kind of obvious, but it bears some repeating. So I want to go back into that, and we want to revisit that, that theme. That theme is rest. I want to go back and revisit rest, because right now, what God is teaching us as the people of God is about how to function in a position of rest. And not just rest and, not doing anything, although that's kind of what our physical state is, but really having rest in him. And that's a different type of situation. We touched on that when we went through this 6 weeks ago. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that message. I think it's really going to bless you. I'm going to revisit some of those things just to get our bearings for those who haven't heard that yet. And some of us who might need a refresher. I know I went back and kind of read through it. I'm like, wow, there's so much packed into that right now. But for us to recognize the season that we're in, needing to be functioning in rest, rest in the Lord. So when I do this, you're going to hear, I'm going to talk about rest, but as we go through the sermon, you're going to hear elements of things that we've been talking about and exploring in this time, because we're in the same storm. So all this stuff is really, it's meant to build upon each other. And I think it's worth revisiting so that we can kind of recapture that and recalibrate as we're moving through. So that's kind of what today is about, just a recalibration of getting back to focusing on rest. So I'm going to go into some of the main points that I used as kind of just the basic summary up front in that message. And that is this. I was working from a reference to a message that Sam Solon shared with us back in November of 2019, so just really prior to going into this season. And it was a word in season, and we received it. And I remember at the end of the message, just thanking Sam for what he deposited with us, because that's what he did. He put a deposit in us. I remember saying to us afterwards, thank you, Sam. Thanks for sharing this with us. This is an important message, and it's something that we're going to have to dig deeper into. And we're in the process right now of digging deeper into this in a very real and practical way, in an obvious way. So one of the things that Sam mentioned to us is that that entering into God's rest is a choice that we get to make. You know, we're in a place where we have to physically be at rest, but are we going to choose to enter God's rest? Because entering God's rest is different than, you know, twiddling your thumbs or just sleeping or just resting your physical body. There's an aspect of resting in who he is and in abiding with him. So he said this, that basically rest and worry are both environments that we can operate from. You can operate from an environment of rest, or you can operate from an environment of worry. And as you can understand, those two are pretty much opposed to each other. And what's interesting about it, in both of those environments, there are economies that attend you when you operate in each. Now, we weren't meant to live in an economy that's marked by the sweat of our brow, basically what we're able to do, what we're able to earn and make happen. But really, as Christians who've been redeemed to our Father, we were meant to live in an economy that flows from the provision of our Father. And so you heard back when I was praying for tithes and offerings, it's recognizing that we actually have the opportunity to be living sourced by our Father, sourced out of his provisioning, and that there's a flow that can come to us. He's releasing it, but are we going to tap into it? There's a flow that's coming to us from our Father that we have access to. And that provides a completely different economy than the economy of this world. And so it's important for us to recognize that at this time, in this time especially, where some of us don't even have the opportunity to be working the sweat of our brow, and we want to, and we feel the need to, but we can't. We don't have access to it. But the good news is we have access to our Father. And our Father, he's got all of it. He can make any of it happen for us. That's just the way he is, but we need to be focused on him. So Sam worked from Hebrews chapter 3, right around verses 18 and 19, and demonstrated that the key to entering God's rest, there's a key to it, is faith. Faith in him, faith in God. And the opposite, not entering into his rest, comes from unbelief. And more specifically, he got into apathy. It's not just the, I don't believe you. It's the, well, that's part of it, but I'm apathetic. I'm not going to move forward. I'm not going to do that because I'm wavering and I'm doubting. And really, faith is kind of opposite of that. It's believing and then it's acting in that belief moving forward. But he talked about a greater depth in faith is this. He said, faith is essentially the position of lying down in vulnerability, a position of vulnerability, recognizing that you can't really do anything. Underneath, you're laying down underneath the truth that you will see the goodness of God rise up in your circumstances. And so faith is recognizing that you're essentially powerless and you are submitted and surrendered to God. You're operating under the understanding that He is going to rise up in our circumstances. His goodness is going to rise up in our circumstances. It's going to win the day. And so we're surrendered to Him, we're submitted to Him. And under that understanding, we're able to then move forward in what He's called us to do. Sometimes that's just to stand still. Sometimes it's to go and do something that doesn't make any sense to anybody else, and likely not even you, but it's a being obedient to what God is telling us to do in that moment. And so so faith is really, it's focused on the truth of who God is. It's not just faith in that things are going to be okay, faith that that it's just going to be all right, it's all going to work out. It's not just wishful positive thinking. God will test that and He'll shake that and that thing will fall apart. But when we put our faith in God, He is the only unshakable one. When everything else is shaking, He's not shaken. He's not stirred, none of that. He is what we're supposed to be, what and who we're supposed to be holding on to in the midst of whatever storms that we're in. I also made reference to this, Graham Cook. Graham Cook says that rest is a weapon. And he goes into a lot more than that, but that has really stuck with me in a major way, because this whole theme of rest and entering God's rest has really been something that God's been talking about coming into this season. So God's kind of been planting this into the earth. He's been depositing in it. And for those who've been paying attention, they've already started working on it. And God's raising up those leaders right now to help walk the rest of us through that time, through this time, to enter into God's rest and learn how to function in rest in this season. Because this season is not the end of things. There is more to come, and we have to learn these things now because we're going to need these skills as we move forward in the future. So rest is a weapon, and God is He is training us as the church and how to wield that weapon in this season. So this is a present thing that's happening. There's some unique dynamics that are going on with this. I went after, in the first message that I spoke about this, I went from here and talked about David and Goliath, using that story as an illustration of these principles. And I encourage you to go listen to that. Again, I think it's going to encourage you because it talks about power, the power that we have access to as we are functioning from a place of rest with our faith in God, connecting with what He's called us to do. So I'm not going to go into that today. Today, I'm going to use Psalm chapter 46 as my base scripture, because there's some really amazing things that are in here for us right now. And you know, 46:10, you know, be still and know that I am God. That's just been kind of ruminating in me. And as I went in and looked at this chapter, I thought, wow, there's so much more to this. And there's things that are around it that I'm not even going to be able to get into today. But I'd encourage you to read Psalm chapter 45 through 48. It's actually kind of a complete set of Psalms. And I think it's going to really encourage you, recognizing who we are, whose we are, and the glory and the worthiness of praise towards God, because He wins the day, folks. He always wins the day. Be on this team, because it's going to turn out better in the end. No matter what trials and tribulations you go through, and God promises us that we will go through those things, but He wins the day. Always, 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 we will ultimately see His goodness through all of this. So I want to encourage you with that. But let's go into Psalm chapter 46, because God has packed so much in this that we need to hear right now in this season. And so I want to share it with you and be thinking as you're listening to it about the challenges that you're facing, that we as a community are facing, and what the world is facing right now. As the body of Christ, God's uniquely positioned us right now, and He's got us along for the same ride that everybody else is on. We're weathering the same storm, but we're in a different boat. Somebody else said that recently, but but we're not all in the same boat. But for those of us that are with the Lord, He's got a great plan in this for us. If you're not in the boat with the Lord, there's always the chance to hop in with Him. He always gives us that opportunity. Well, let's get into Psalm 46. I'm using the old manual version of the Bible. I encourage you to as well. You can take a lot of notes, and I know you can get that in your Bible app, and I do that as well. But I think sometimes it just helps to be able to see everything together. So I'd encourage you to get out your manual version of the Bible. So Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. Listen to how that starts out. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. This is a bookends. You're going to hear that repeated at the end, so pay attention to what's in the middle here. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What a powerful, powerful passage. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge and our strength. And you hear that, you know, God of Jacob is our fortress. We hear that twice in there. Like I said, that's a bookended statement. But at the beginning, we see God is our refuge and strength. He's our fortress. What powerful language is being used there. God is with us. He's ever present. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So where we are right now in the midst of this challenge, in the midst of this season, whether it's the specifically the COVID stuff or there's other things that you're going through right now, He is present with you, and He's never going to leave you, and He's never going to forsake you. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. And these are kind of exaggerated terms, but there, when it's talking about major things that are just falling, things that we would trust, we'd put our hope and our trust in, everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And there's calamity and all sorts of things that are going on around us. It says, therefore, we will not fear no matter what is taking place. Why? Because God is our refuge and our strength. He's our ever-present help in trouble. We do not need to fear. You know, the tumultuous things that we cannot control are happening. You know, mountains falling into the sea, waters roaring and foaming, mountains quaking, all that. We can't control that. You know, it's like trying to hold back the tide, but our desire as human beings is to fight against this. It's to press against it as much as we can, to work with the sweat of our brow, to toil, to make things happen. And we can't. We can't. But we who are in Christ have the opportunity to recognize that we can rest in Him. I love this next these next verses here. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Now, this is a powerful statement here. When it's talking about the city of God, there's a reference contextually to the actual natural Jerusalem. And when it says that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, there really isn't a natural river that flows into Jerusalem. But it is thought that there's some sort of underground river that's flowing below the surface, unseen, that supplies water to various streams, and springs underneath Jerusalem. And there's a really interesting spiritual picture that's going on with that, and it's consistent with what Jesus says, basically saying those who drink of the water I have to give them will have streams. They'll have living water coming up and springing up inside them. There's a source that we have as Christians who put our faith in the Lord, that He is going to supply our needs. His Spirit comes, and out of that Spirit flows rivers of living water. He supplies all of our needs. There's a spiritual aspect of it, and there's actually a real aspect to it where we see God providing for us in real, tangible, physical ways that don't come about by any other means than it's God that's providing for us. So, earlier when I'm talking about functioning from a place of rest, that environment of rest, where there's an economy that attends us, that flows from the provision of our Father, we recognize that God's provision is flowing to us. And what's interesting about this passage is it's talking kind of like siege type of language, where there's battle that's going on. There's those that are basically raging against God, and we see that inside this city, inside these battlements of the city, God is providing for His people. And I love this. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, for us who are in Christ, we are actually that city. We are the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And so we see that inside the church, that God is providing an economy to sustain us in the midst of all sorts of challenges. And think about God providing for His people in the desert. He's the one who sustains them in the desert. He provides the fire. He provides the cloud. He provides manna. He provides quail. He provides water from the rock. He's always providing in ways that just don't seem natural, but He does it because He can. God's economy is the superior economy. And when you're in the middle of the desert and you don't have, the means to make anything happen, you don't have the means to provide for all those people out there, you're completely reliant on God to show up and provide for you. And He does. He's written that into history now. He's written that into our history as a people of faith to be able to look back and see what He's done. And then it says here that he's our fortress. I just love that. Now, when it talks about desolations here, in this context, it's really talking about His desolations to the enemies of His people. God is greater than all of that. He's greater than anything that any enemy could throw His way. It's not even like there's not even a chance. It's not like it's even a contest. He has wiped from the face of the earth those that have stood against His people over time. And he demonstrates His power and His ability to protect us. We have no need to fear in these situations that seem like they can overcome us and overwhelm us. The Lord of hosts is on our side. So then we get in here to really, I would say, probably the most famous part of this passage. And it says, He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, oftentimes, we take this statement as the personal statement, and I think that you really can here, because God is speaking this in the midst of this this passage here, and it applies both to those who are inside the gates, right, and those who are outside. For Him to say, "Be still and know that I am God," for those of us who are following Him, for those of us who are in Him, to know that He is God calms us and helps us to be still. He's basically saying, "Be still, relax. Let go. I've got this. And you can trust me because I am God." And to our enemies, to those that are outside, those that are coming against us, He says, "Be still and know that I'm God." It's the stop. You can come no further. Know that I am God and I'm greater than the situation. And prior to that, it's talking about just how He has stopped anything that He's needed to, ceasing wars. What does it say here? Breaking the bows, shattering the spear, burns the shields with fire. God can overcome anything that the enemy can throw at us because He is greater than all of it. "Be still and know that I am God." And then He says this, He declares this, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And why is it that He's going to be exalted? Because He shows His great power. He shows His great strength. He shows His complete ability to cease everything that anybody could throw at us. "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He will be glorified. Make no mistake, at the end of this whole situation that we're in globally, God will be glorified because we're going to see him rise up in victory through his people, blessing his people, but he is going to be glorified, and he's training us in the midst of this time. So whether you take that statement as directed at the enemy or directed at you, be still and know that he is God. You can rest in him. You can rest in the fact that his goodness is going to show up in the midst of whatever trials and challenges you're facing. And those are real trials, real challenges, real things that you're facing. And it's hard for us to comprehend sometimes. How's God's goodness going to show up in this? Trust him. Put your faith in him. Recognize that he is who he says he is, and he is ever present in the midst of whatever you're going through. And he is going to rise, he is going to help you rise up in that situation. And you're going to see his goodness show up when you lay down and rest inside him and say, Lord, I got nothing here. I can't even control this situation, but I know that you are going to show up on my behalf. And I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. He wars on our behalf so that we can rest in him. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our fortress. You know, he's surrounding us in his great strength, and we can rest and be confident that for those of us who are dwelling in him, abiding in him, we have access to him. And that means we have access to the economy of heaven in the midst of whatever calamity that we're facing. You know, we spoke about another aspect of what we're going through here some weeks back. We talked about Jesus being with us in the storm. We looked at various storms here. This passage here, this be still and know that I am God, is very similar to where Jesus is in the storm with the disciples. He's there in the boat and he's sleeping in the back, and the storm is raging around them and they think they're going to capsize. And that's what everything looks like, right? But he's present with them in the midst of that. And what's he doing? He's sleeping. And his disciples wake him and he gets up. He's not afraid then. He's not afraid now. And he basically tells the storm, silence, be still. Again, be still. And what happens? The storm ceases. He has complete command over all of it. And why is it that he wasn't afraid in the midst of that storm? Because he knew that he was going to take them to the other side of that thing. He was with them. And they're facing that storm and they were afraid and they're looking. They were just completely, you know, confused that he would be asleep in the midst of this thing. Don't you care about us? You know, and of course he does. Of course he cares about them. And he gets up and he calms the storm. He says, be still, be silent. And it was. So the question then, when they say, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? You know, he answers that question by the second half of the statement that he didn't fill there. He says, be still. But what does it say in Psalm 46? Be still and know that I am God. The answer there is he is God, and he has command over the wind and the waves. And he is God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. So what does it say at the very beginning of 46? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So they're in the middle of that storm. Jesus is in the boat with them. He's ever-present with them. He's not scared. He's not concerned at all, because he has a destination on the other side of that storm, and he's carrying them through to it, just like he's carrying you through to the other side of this storm. He is training you right now to rest in him. How different would it have been if those disciples had been there in that boat in the midst of that storm, and they'd say, you know what, I know this thing's crazy right now. This is nuts. It feels like I'm going to die. It feels like all of us are going to die right now. But you know what? I see Jesus in the back of the boat. He's sleeping on the cushion. So I know he's not scared. And if he's God, man, here we go. We're going to ride this thing out. We're going to ride this sucker out, because we have something to do on the other side of this. It's a different story. And we are the ones now who have the benefit of their story. So we get to actually ride out in this boat and say, Jesus isn't concerned. And I know that I'm facing some hard stuff and I don't know how this is going to work out, because it feels like I'm going to die. But God has got this, and he's got me, and he's going to see me to the other side of this. I don't see the other side. All I can see is wind and waves and clouds, and it's all coming over the top of me. But I know that I can trust him. I know that I can, if he's resting, then I can rest in him.
So right now, Jesus is teaching us to rest in him. He's saying, I'm here. I'm here in the midst of this thing with you. I'm in the midst of this storm with you, and I'll supply for all of your needs. So just rest in me. Trust in me. I know you don't see the answer yet, but you can see me. Focus on me. Look into my eyes. Be focused on me. Be focused on my grace. See, if God is for us, for each one of us, well, who can be against us? If he's in the boat with us, we know that we're going to get to the other side. We know it. We know we're going to get through this. And should we even lose our lives, for those of us who have put our trust and our hope in him, his promise is you're going to be with me in eternity because I know you. I know you now, and I'm going to know you forever. And I've got adventures for you. So come with me. So when we rest in him, we don't need to fear. Instead, this is really interesting stuff. When we rest in him, instead of living in fear, we get to be living in what he's called us to live in, and that's love. See, fear tells us in 1 John, it says fear has to do with punishment. So in fear, there's this sense that something bad's going to happen. I'm going to get in trouble for something. It's going to hit me. I'm going to get whacked in one way or another. And so I'm dealing with this a little bit of anxiety in there. But in love, we don't have that. We don't have that. So love has to do with us resting in the Lord, resting in our relationship with him, having put our faith and our trust and our hope in him. We are free to then love as we are made to love. We're free to obey him, to do the things that he's called us to do. When we're living in fear, we can't even focus on that stuff. We're worried about whether or not we're going to make it out alive. But when we live in love, we recognize that God's got this. And we are surrendered to him. Our lives are submitted to him. And he is ultimately sovereign and in control of it. Jesus is king. He is king. And when we allow him to be the king of our lives, he takes care of all of it. We don't get to choose everything that happens for us, but he gets to show his glory and his love through us to the world. See, when you're living in love and you're living in rest in the Lord, you're able to love the world no matter what calamity you're in, whatever dark hour you're in. You get to be the peace in the midst of that storm because he imparts that peace to you. So you get to be the peace for others. We're in a season right now of learning how to rest in him. And this isn't over yet. And our need to be able to function in this manner is not going to end with the closing of this present crisis that we're in. We're learning right now how to weather storms and how to rest in the Lord in the midst of these challenging circumstances because of where God is taking us. And what's unique about this time is that it's not like there's just a few of us that are on the individual level. We're going through challenges right now, and we're having to learn that so that we might be able to impart that to a few others. No, God is taking us corporately as the church global along the ride with everybody else right now, but he's taking us as a corporate body through a training exercise to learn how to rest in him on a corporate level, not just an individual level, but a corporate level. Because all of this was never meant to be just an individual journey for you to be on. You have an individual aspect of your journey, but we are meant to live in community. We are meant to be dependent on one another, reliant on one another, being able to bless one another, love one another. It's not just about you and your relationship with the Lord. You can't get through all of this and where God's going to be taking us as just an individual being, as an island unto yourself. If you know Jesus and you're following him and you've given your life to him, you are part of the body of Christ. And we are a gift to you just as much as you are a gift to us. And so we need to be participating in this together. God's taking us through this corporately. That's a really unique aspect of this time. And we have to learn this now for where God's taking us. And I don't know all the details of where it is that God's taking us, but this is a pretty big training exercise that we're going through right now. And there's some skin attached to this thing. So be aware of that. This is a season for us to learn humility. I don't care who you are right now. There are things that no amount of money is going to be able to provide for you a way through all of this. It's just humbling on every level. We've seen economies completely change. We've seen businesses really go down. We've seen other ones come up. It's completely humbling. No one really has control over the situation, but who? God. God is in control in the midst of this thing, and we are humbled before him. For us, really for everyone, he's saying, just come to me. Come to me in the midst of this. As Christians, we should be inclining our hearts towards him right now and saying, Lord, I forgot my first love. I need to come to you in a whole new way. You're getting my attention. What is it that needs to fall away from me in this season for where we're going to in the next? Because he's victorious already over this crisis, over this virus, over whatever economic challenges that we're facing and will face in the future. He's already victorious over all of it. And he has an economy that's available to us. It's God's economy. It's his kingdom economy. And it shows up exactly when we need it. And it shows up more abundantly than we could ever ask or imagine. I want to say this to you right now, and somebody really needs to hear this. You were not intended in this time to just survive this. Now, I'm speaking this message to you. I'm not just speaking a message to you about how we're going to scrape through this by the skin of our teeth and just, you know, barely escape this situation. That was not God's intent in this. And it's never his intent in the midst of whatever challenges that we're facing. His intent, if we'll connect with him, is to thrive in the midst of whatever chaos and calamity that we're in. It's to thrive there because we have access to him. Remember, we talked earlier about the streams that flow into that city, that they bring joy there. God is looking for us to be victorious in this time. And you know, the real experiences that we're having, the real physical things that are happening, they're really there. But man, I tell you what, God is wanting to train us to thrive in the midst of the storm, to set our sails and ride that thing out with him and go to the other side victorious with him through it. And that can be very challenging in what we're facing. Like I said, for those disciples in that boat, it felt like they were going to die, but Jesus was not afraid. And for us, we have the benefit of their story to say, God is up to something right now. He's not scared, and I don't need to be as well. And I'm telling that to you, and I'm going through the same things that you're going through right now. I have my own fears that pop up, my own anxieties that crop up, the own little things that are working and causing me to fear in the midst of this. And I keep hearing the voice of the Lord just beckoning me back, say, just stop. Don't dive down that rabbit hole. I've got so much more for you right now. And he's saying that same thing to you right now. He wants to show you greater things in the midst of this. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Because there's something for us in this. Philippians 4:4. We're going to do 4:4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. I get anxious about stuff. Man, I'm real. I'm a human being just like the rest of you. Don't think just because I'm a pastor and because I know Jesus that I don't get anxious. I do get anxious. But I know that what I get to do when I'm feeling anxious is I get to turn back to my Father and say, Father, I'm feeling anxious right now. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. And this is what I'm scared about. And you know what he does? He says, just give it to me. Give it to me. Don't be anxious about that. Trust me. Trust me here in this right now. Watch me overcome in these circumstances for you. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what happens? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a promise that he would overcome, in us. He would release and impart to us peace. Peace destroys the authority that establishes disorder. God sets us right when we release those things to him. So I encourage you, whatever it is that you're going through right now, whatever mountains you have in your life, whatever things you're looking at and just think, what a crazy thing for me to be facing right now. This is impossible. And God says, give it to me because I make it possible. Nothing is impossible for me. Folks, we were meant to love.
We were meant to release love into this world. We were meant to love God, and we were meant to love one another. And we weren't meant to just love one another as we would like to be loved. We were meant to love one another sacrificially, like Christ, like he did, laying down his life for us. It's hard to do that when you're wrapped up in fear and anxiety. And fear and anxiety looks at yourself and wonders, how am I going to be provided for? How am I going to be cared for? How am I going to be fed? How am I going to be protected in this time? What's going to happen to me? I'm going to get glossed over in this whole thing. I'm going to get run over and trucked over in the midst of all this. But God says, no. No, I've got you. I've got you. And you can love me, and then you can pour out the love that I have, that I'm going to give you for those that are around you. I'm going to make you a shelter in the midst of this storm. I'm going to make your words have life in them. I'm going to make whatever small gifts that you have be multiplied in huge, dramatic ways because you put your trust in me and you chose to love like I designed you to, like I created you to, that you would be that wellspring that would flow out living water to other people. We get to rest in our Father, and we get to be secure in our faith, anchored in him. We get to demonstrate and express his love regardless of whatever storms we faced. I'm saying these things to you today, and for some of you just think this is impossible. For others of you, it's like dusting off the old jacket. You got to put it back on again. You got to step back up into this thing because God has something for you in the midst of this season. Maybe you're going along in those waves and you felt like, I got my rhythm in this thing, and then you got whacked in the side. Maybe that hasn't come for you yet, and it might be coming soon. I hope it's not, but it might be. And when it does, if it does, know that you can still trust in your Father for this tempest in the midst of this storm, that he's going to help you navigate through that thing because he is good. He is good, and he wants to demonstrate his goodness to you. He wants to pour out his love to you, and he wants you to pour out that love to others. And it says this in 1 John, that perfect love casts out all fear. It casts it out. And God has that perfect love. And when we have him come into our hearts, he moves fear outside. And you might still feel fear, but you have the opportunity, to, like I said earlier, to bring that back to your Father and say, I don't want to carry this anymore, and I give it to you. And then you get to turn and walk away from that thing as he takes it and gives you freedom. Jesus came to take away your sins and to bring you into your Father's kingdom. Well, it's his Father's kingdom, but it can be your Father's kingdom too. As you step out of darkness and into light, become a child of God, you become heir with Christ to everything that God has, and he wants to teach you and release things through you that you could never imagine before. You go through hard times, you'll face difficult challenges, but you will know that your Father is always with you, that he will never leave you and he'll never forsake you, and that he will supply every need that you have, that he will equip you for everywhere that he sends you, and his grace will abound in you and through you. Jesus paid the price on the cross for your sins, and God raised him back to life on the third day in victory, victory over fear, victory over death, victory over sin, so that you could partake in that victory, that he would be able to release that same power that rose him from the grave into your life, so that not just accomplish the things that you want to do, but to accomplish his works through you. See, wherever it is that you're weak, God is strong, and he wants to demonstrate his victorious power in your life. And he wants to bring other people into his family through the love that he expresses through you. If you don't yet know him, and maybe you think that God is out to whack you and beat you up, he is not. He is here to be your rescuer in the midst of the storm. He is here to be the one that you can hold on to while everything is shaking. He wants to be the one who is king over your life, that he would bless you and bless your family and bless all those who come after you. He wants to transform your life, and he wants to demonstrate his goodness to you and through you. If you don't yet know Jesus, I want you to pray with me right now. You want to make that commitment to him. And I promise you, it doesn't mean that the road ahead of you is going to be crazy easy or anything like that. I don't want to lie to you like that. There's going to be challenges that are ahead of you. But God's goodness is going to rise up. His goodness is going to rise up and do battle for you in the midst of everything. If you want to follow Jesus, this is what I want you to say. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know you came to earth for me. I believe that you're God's son and that you paid the price for my sins, price that I could never pay. You paid for me. I believe that God rose you on the third day. And I want to come into your kingdom. I want you to be my king. Take me from the dominion of darkness into the dominion of light. And I want to follow you all the days of my life into eternity. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God. If you prayed that for the second, third, fifth, tenth time, again, you are part of the kingdom of God. And he is here to resource you. He is here to empower you as a loving father. He wants to train you to be his representative in the earth, that others might see his glory and his goodness, and most of all, his love through your life and your commitment to him. God bless you. We're going to do communion now. Hopefully you gathered something ahead of time. I've got some grape juice here and a cracker, kind of standard stuff. But I've just been loving to see what it is that you've all been using for communion. Be creative if you need to be. But God's got great things for us. And I want to say, you know, before we take this, I have been so blessed over the past couple of weeks to watch the way that you all are loving each other. The many creative ways that you've come up to demonstrate to somebody, I see you and I love you. I know what you care about and I know what your needs are. Meeting people's needs in practical ways has just been beautiful. To see the way you all are connecting in our connection groups has been beautiful. We need to see each other's faces. We need to be able to hear one another. We need to be able to pray for each other, and you're doing that. I've just been, as your pastor, just so proud of you, so pleased in what the Lord is doing in you in demonstrating his love. They will know that we are Christians by our love. That's the mark that we get to carry, his love in our lives. And you guys are doing that. And that's going to become more and more important as we carry on down through history. There will be the day where the love of many, most, will grow cold. But not for us who truly believe in him. Not for us that are walking with him. Not for us that have been trained by him to pour out his love through our lives. I encourage you to practice these things. And it comes out of a place of rest in him, because you have faith that he is who he says he is. You have freedom to do that. Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. We thank you that you paid the price for our sins. We thank you that you poured out your blood, the new covenant, that our sins aren't just covered by your blood, Lord. They are washed away. We thank you for what you did in this. Take and eat in the name of Jesus. Amen. And drink. I want to thank you for being with us here today. Actually, before we go, we did get a couple of prophetic words that came in. I want to share those with you. For those of you who are new with us, we have a prophetic team. We believe God speaks to us through one another. And so I want to share what he was saying today. And these are words that we did hear on Saturday. He's so cool how he does this. There's somebody who needs to hear this right now. That there's a picture of a cog railroad train. You might not know what that is. Look it up on Google. But it's a type of train that can bring things up really steep mountainsides. So here's the word. That someone is being asked by God to carry a heavy load up a steep hill. Like a cog railroad train, God has prepared both the person and the path so that what would usually be impossible is now possible. So here's the in short. You are uniquely equipped, whoever you are or whoever's you are, because this word might be for one individual. It could be for 100 people. And it's not just for those who are watching right now. I'm saying this on Saturday. You're watching this on Sunday. Some of you might be watching this 3 years from now, and it can still be just as alive and active for you today. You are uniquely equipped to handle what God has uniquely called you to do. That's a good word. You can go to the bank on that thing. I encourage you to run with that and seek your Father's face and say, Lord, if you're calling me to do this and you've told me that you've equipped me to do it uniquely, I'm going to run with you. Go for it. Go for it. Here's another one. Someone keeps hearing the word restoration. And so you need to hear that right now. Some of you need to hear that. Restoration. That the Lord is looking to renew your relationship with your Father. Renew your relationship with your Father. You may have run off far, but God wants to renew your relationship with Him as your Father. And He wants to restore that thing, that word, restoration. If that word is speaking to you right now, I'd encourage you to reach out to our prophetic line and just let us know. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. God has got great things for you. You know, like I said, He didn't want you to just scrape through this time surviving by the skin of your teeth. He wants to teach you how to thrive in the midst of adversity as your resource, as your Father, as the one who loves you and has sent you into the field of battle. He's got you. God's got this. He is our refuge, our strong tower. I want to just bless you right now as we head off into this next week. God has got this. You can put your faith, trust, and hope in Him. Rest in the Lord. He has great things for you. God bless you. Have a great week.